Well, hello, my friends. Welcome. It's episode number 15 here on The Pulse in the year 2025. Wowzers. And guys, do we have a good one for you here today? I'm going to be talking exclusively with my very good friend, Brother Ryan Matta, who is uncovering and exposing the world's largest trafficking network out of Guatemala. Watch this.
Has anyone in the Trump administration reached out to try to help with this at this point? Or, you know, where do things stand? I know under the Biden administration, of course, they've tried to completely hide their connections to what has happened in Guatemala. Where do things stand now with the Trump administration?
I think what Trump's doing with USAID, I think there's a lot more to this story. I think we're going to find out in every single one of these Democrats that are going after and out there and trying to defend USAID right now. I think they're terrified that if Elon starts looking into the money and these organizations start getting audited, you're gonna start to find a lot of these politicians, these unelected bureaucrats with offshore bank accounts. I couldn't figure it out. The Democrats, and when they're a politician, it made sense that USAID was funding NGOs, NGOs were donating to the political campaigns, and that money was coming back full circle. But the unelected bureaucrats, I couldn't ever figure it out. But now that I'm seeing all these offshore bank accounts, it's like, oh, okay, that money's going into an offshore bank account. That's how you're getting paid back.
Buckle your seatbelts, my friend, because today we're going to be looking into the 190,000 children that have been trafficked out of the nation of Guatemala into the United States into parts unknown. And the person that is actually exposing all that. Now, you know that I've been fighting trafficking for a long, long time. You and I have been partnering together to be doing that for a long, long time. Today, as I'm talking with Brother Ryan Matta, we're going to be discussing how the money is moved and how nefarious it actually is. USAID is in bad trouble. And I believe that it's a move of the Holy Ghost. Also, we also have some lighter content as well, because I can't help but notice that there was a guy in Chile on a kayak that actually got swallowed by a whale. I don't know if you saw that or not. Jack the Ripper has been identified through DNA evidence 136 years later. Like, what? You're going to go back 20 years and look at this mess in Guatemala? Oh, no. We're actually in a day where we're going back 136 years and things are being uncovered. And then, guys, the IRS is being audited. What? I didn't even know that was possible, and it's happening here today as the Spirit of the Lord moves forward in a way that looks like this. Light maketh manifest. Yeah, listen, if you're a roach, it's not a good day to live in the day that we're living in today. We're also going to have, with our special guests, guys, again, we're going to be looking at the kidnapping and the trafficking of over 190,000 children and the United States part in that and a whole lot more. Guys, here's what I need you to do. I need you to call this number. The number is 877-413-0888 if you want to get into the fight. All right, let me welcome my crew here today. Some say tomato, I say tamayo. My good friend Rebecca Tamayo is here with me.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know what? There was a lot of people here on Sunday. They're like, I gotta come see you. I gotta see you, including those crazy people that drove down here from Canada.
They called me out. They said some call tomato. And I'm like, oh my gosh, these people are ODX peeps. I'm like, they know the whole line.
They do know the whole line.
They were so sweet, Jason, right?
They were very sweet.
I don't remember the name.
And I mean, that was a long haul, man, in that little bitty tiny car that they were in, all the way from Canada.
Jason and Dora.
And Dora.
Jason and Dora. Hello, my friend. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good.
Yeah, are you doing
well?
I was
excited to meet Jason and Dora too on Sunday. It's just always so fun when we actually get to meet our ODX family in person, because you see them commenting and, you know, chatting as we're on here live, and you feel like you get to know people.
Shay Wilbur, you're here. I wish that you guys could have been with me in North Carolina last week. All the ODX people that were there.
That's so fun.
Because it was a hoot. I talked to people. It was great. It was incredible. And as a matter of fact, I got a video that I'll be showing you guys here in just a few minutes. So hold on to that. But first, let me also say it's good to have Zach Rippey here with me.
Hey, Pastor Troy.
What's going on, my friend?
I'm glad you're back, man.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back.
Welcome.
I'm happy to be back. Guys, we got a lot of things to talk about. But I tell you what, Zach, you go first.
Oh, yeah, man. We got so many things that we're going to be covering today. We're going to be talking about a guy in Chile that was on a kayak that everybody saw that. If you haven't seen on the internet, it's crazy. A whale just went over here and got a guy on a kayak. And Pastor Troy is going to be speaking into that a little bit later on today in the show as well about the what that means in the prophetic, and it's going to be some special stuff. And then so many other things that we're going to be covering today. And then I do want to ask you guys, wherever you're watching from today, make sure you comment and let us know. We love to see where our audience is. So if you're in South Africa, leave us a comment. If you're in Mesa, Arizona, leave us a comment. And we love to just see that. So really,
thank you already for know that. That there's folks here from South Africa. I know, right?
That's why I didn't even get Mesa, Arizona.
That is correct. You know what? All my friends all over the world. Hey, thank you so much for liking and commenting and doing all that kind of stuff. And then you were going to tell us, let's see, Rebecca, you had something as well, right?
Yes, sir. So don't forget to like, comment, and share. And I see so many different podcasts, but I like how we operate. When we like, we share, and we comment, you are being a media missionary. And not only a media missionary, but we get to help children, women, all. It's just amazing what the Lord is doing with TBM and Open Door and with Spark Worldwide. You get to be the hands and feet of Jesus when you comment and share. So we are just so excited that when you do that, you are being the hands and feet of Jesus. So continue to share, like, repost, because you are making a difference.
Especially for an episode like this. This is going to be an episode that I don't think we've ever had something like this before. Mm-mm. Where it's going
to
be...
No, usually it's me getting up there trying to tell everybody that all these kids are being trafficked all over the world and pleading the case for the 11,000 kids that we've been able to rescue and the 4,000 kids, almost 5,000 kids, 4,400 something kids under our care right this second. Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor, and usually it's me. I'm the guy that's, you know, going, hey, we got to let people... But this guy... who we're about to bring up here in about 10 minutes or so. This guy's killing it. I saw him, Shea Wilbur, I saw him on, I don't know, I saw some video that he was on, and I sent it to you guys and went, we have got to have this guy on, and we got to talk about this.
Yeah, Zach jumped on it and reached out right on Instagram, I think. Wow. And we were able, and he's been super responsive. We're really excited just because so much of what he does is in alignment with what we do to rescue kids from human trafficking and really to shed light on the corruption and the laws and the systems that allow this to take place. And that's what's so shocking when you hear the numbers that he talks about. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into it in a little bit, but like how many of our tax dollars have gone towards funding this is just crazy.
Yeah. And I want to tell you, people are throwing a wall-eyed fit over being held accountable today.
Yeah. Mm.
And you know what? They're, I like what Wyatt Earp says, you know, I'm coming and hell's coming with me. And it's a big word that's going out. Netanyahu just said that he was going to unleash the gates of hell, like this whole thing of, no, there's hell to pay over this thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't think it's cute. We don't think it's funny. We're not entertained by it. And we're sick and tired of these people coming after our kids. And like we always say, not on our watch.
That's right. Amen.
And you gave a really good word on Sunday. So I just want to encourage people, if you have not checked out Pastor Troy's message from this past Sunday on accountability and the urgency of this time, this hour, go back and watch that. A lot of people actually have been watching it, and it's been doing really well on our YouTube. And I just think because it's such a word for right now. Accountability. We are in a time where people are being held accountable in the body of believers and in our government, and it needs to be that way.
So people are like, okay, like with this cat that we're talking to, Brother Ryan Matta. Okay, this guy is going back and he's like actually documenting, this is what's happened. Yep. This is what they did with these kids. Wow. This is how they paid for it. These are the NGOs that were involved in it. And these Democrats that are raising a big stink right now going, no, 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 you're not elected. You can't look into this. Let the heathen rage. Let the wicked foam. And you know what? You can go pound sand. We want to look into every single cent that is being spent on this, because I've been doing this now for 30 years. Mm-hmm. The first time we rescued a kid was almost 30 years ago. It's 29 years ago. And we've been saying this has been going on for three decades. And up until the movie about trafficking came out, The Sound of Freedom, there was not even a place in our society to even talk about it. Everybody's like, that's lunatic fringe. That's something that only happens. Yeah. No, it happens every single day on a global level. And so, man, when you have the likes of the United States of America, which is so addicted to pornography, and all pornography puts you on a road towards the sexualization of children. That's what it does. Everybody's like, no, it doesn't. No. If you don't know that, you're either naive or you're demonic. One or the other, because it does. If you stay into pornography long enough, it will bring you into the sexualization of children. It cannot be a part of our sexuality. And it's not even addressed because of how the porn industry lobbies our Congress to the tune of millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars not to enforce the law, not to look into them, not to hold them accountable as to if the sex that is on their sites is consensual or if it's not consensual, if the people are underage or if they are not underage, all the messes that are involved in that. And by the way, trafficking is any time that there is commerce in the midst of a human person. So sexual trafficking is when there's commerce of, if you owe me money, then you have to let me film you. If you're vulnerable, if you want to make it through the rest of the month, you have to, all that is trafficking and is filmed for the entertainment of Europeans and Americans who are addicted to such a thing. Well, I'm all about it. And I don't care, and I'm not afraid, and I've been saying this for years and years and years. We are tired of this mess. Now that I've said that, in the midst of us rescuing kids and raising these kids, there are other people that are making a tremendous difference and actually exposing to the degree of where you can't ignore it and you cannot deny it. When it comes to the accountable being held accountable, friends, you don't have to look any further than look at this. The IRS is being audited.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
That's one of the greatest headlines I've ever seen.
How the tables have turned, my friend.
Watch how they throw a fit. Now look, they will audit you down to $600 and they will make your life miserable. But you turn it around on them and say, hey, where are these trillions of dollars at? Mm-hmm. And how is it that you did this? And why did y'all need 86,000 new hires? And why did they have to have guns? And why this? And why that? Why they throw a wild-eyed fit and they say, no, we're here to hold you accountable. You can't hold us accountable. Mm-hmm. That day has changed because the narrative has changed.
And it shows how many other government agencies are probably in the same process of this audit that's going to be happening. I saw a story today that said the Pentagon has a budget for making films. Did you know that, Pat Story?
No,
the Pentagon has a budget for making films.
Whoa.
And some of the films that they're responsible for are Black Hawk Down, Iron Man. So a lot of stuff that involves, and I was kind of upset about the Iron Man part, but a lot of what they involve is like propaganda against, you know, for the people not to think that something's going wrong in the government. You know, they're controlling the narrative, even in movies.
Well, don't be cussing Black Hawk Down. I think that's a Ridley Scott film. I think it's actually it's actually a Tony Scott film. Whoa, I got a hairball right here. Okay. So help me toss to this.
Okay, so Ryan Mata has joined, and before we bring him in, you know, we've talked a little bit about him. We're really excited for him to join us. But first, before we bring him in, we want to take a moment, have you guys take a look at this, the work that we do around the world.
Every year, 8 million children simply disappear. Not trafficked or enslaved, they vanish without a trace. For 30 years, Troy Brewer Ministries has been fighting back, rescuing over 11,000 children from the horrors of human trafficking and offering them a future.
Not on our watch. We are the answer. And friends, we've been doing this now for 30 years. This is a calling of King Jesus to stand up against evil with the goodness of God. And friends, if we do not show up, I don't think that anybody else is coming. Now, with 51 children's homes in places like Mexico and Uganda and Brazil and Nepal and even beyond, friends, we don't just rescue children, we actually raise them. Right now, 4,000 children are within our care, receiving love, safety, and the hope that they do deserve.
Join the fight. Call the number on your screen or go online. Together, we're saying not on our watch.
Friends, we have been on the border in Mexico, as you know, for all these years, and we've been doing all this work. We do work in five different states in Mexico. We have safe houses all over Mexico. We actually have 54 rescue homes now all over the planet that have tons and tons and tons of homes. And we do this in Uganda. We do this in India. We do this in Nepal. We do this in all the countries in Central America, except for a couple of them, and then we do this in three countries in South America as well. Now, while we've been doing this fight, I got involved in Chiapas, Mexico, which is on the Guatemala border, and I built a redemption ranch there. We've rescued so many kids there, and I know y'all have seen the videos. And Swanami just got back from a redemption ranch on Saturday on the Guatemalan border. But a few years back, we began to see this thing that even just right before the borders opened, of all these kids that are coming out of Guatemala into Chiapas, Mexico, headed towards the United States. And we started finding that all of these kids that we were actually rescuing in the southern part of Mexico. And I want to just kind of stop, and I want to see if you guys remember this. I know that you guys here at the table. Do y'all remember that Swanami went down there and we identified over 8,000 kids that needed to be rescued. Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember all that? Mm-hmm. Okay, a lot of that was from these big warehouses that are literally pornography places.
Wow.
And the kids that we rescued out of those places were all Guatemalan kids.
Wow.
And we were like, what are they doing on this side of the border? Even though we were about 100 miles away from the border. Yeah. Like, what are they doing here? Huh. And how is all that? And who is it that's funding this? Now, look, we're a bunch of yahoos, and we had no way of finding that out at the time. We just took all the kids in, and we started raising them.
Wow.
The person I'm about to introduce to us here understands who is funding this thing. We have a guy who is with us who has all the receipts and proof of who is doing all of this. Ryan Mata is a documentary filmmaker, and he is also an abolitionist, and he's a very influential independent journalist. He has a documentary that is upon this subject that we're talking about today. It's called What is Treason? And it can be found at thisistreason.com. Joining me today is Ryan Mata. Hello, sir. How are you?
Honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow, I'm blown away that you're with me today, Ryan, honestly.
Man, it's a privilege to be around somebody like yourself, man. I was just watching that video of what you guys do, and I'm absolutely mind blown. I've been doing this for about 4 years now, well, 3 years now. And it's very rare that you actually find organizations that actually rescue the children or actually providing a safe place for these children to go. So thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, I got to go speak to Congress last year, and we were in a room of hundreds of people that are abolitionists or activists. I couldn't find a single one of them that rescued anybody, and I couldn't find a single one of them that actually raised any. So when I say a single one, I think that there was, like, throughout the 4 days that I was there, I think we found four organizations that's actually doing something in the midst of the hundreds of people who are known for such a thing. I tell you what, when I see you, what I see is you're ruffling feathers, and you, brother, I want to tell you, I saw you last week. No, look, you got to put up with me. I don't know if you're a believer or not. Are you a believer?
Who do you think sent me here?
Okay, right on, brother. There you go. The reason I'm saying that is because I have been praying for you since the moment I saw you, and since the moment I saw your video, I went, I got to pray for that, brother. And I'm praying for you. And I just want you to know, we here, we're proud of you, man. And before we even get off into this subject, and we're so grateful, it has blown our mind, the media that we've seen through you.
Oh, man, I greatly appreciate that, man. All glory to God for that one, man. He's the one who put me on this path, and you know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. Every door that I thought was going to open, you know, I was just a humble Bitcoiner 3 years ago, not into politics. If you came into my live stream and talked about politics, I would have kicked you out of my live stream. I would have shut down my live stream. I didn't want to hear it. And every door I thought was going to open didn't open. And, you know, one door led to the next. And, you know, first week in politics, I get a whistleblower that comes forward and just hands me this story that I thought was so egregious and so large. I thought it was going to be the biggest story when I came back with it. So that's kind of how it all got started.
Yeah, because you were like the Bitcoin guy before all this, right? I've seen a whole bunch of your Bitcoin videos because I've been looking up all your stuff since I saw your first. I honestly didn't have a clue who you were until last week. And I saw one video, and then I started sending it to my teams like, we got to know this guy. Listen to this. Listen to this. And so in doing all that, I went and did a bunch of research and looked at all your stuff. And I'm like, this guy was actually talking about finances, and he was talking about Bitcoin, and he was talking about crypto. And then he got into this political thing, and then it got dropped in your lap. And then boom, what a ride that must have been.
Yeah, it's a wild ride, man. You know, and it got... When I went down to Texas first time, when the whistleblower came forward and told me that our government was running these child migrant concentration camps, and there was thousands of kidnapped children in these facilities that were being funded with our tax dollars, the story sounded so outrageous and so egregious that you almost don't believe it. But I interviewed him for 3 hours. Prior to that, he was interviewed by an FBI whistleblower, one of my good buddies who I really respect his opinion. And, you know, he thought his story was true. So when Carlos invited me down to Texas at the end of our interview, he's like, listen, man, I told everybody this story so many times, but nobody's ever taken me up on it, but you can come down to Texas and I can take you to these facilities. And I'm like, wait, you can take me to facilities where there's kidnapped children in them right now. We can go into the facility. So we can't go into it because security will stop us as soon as we get to the parking lot, but we can go to the edge of the property and you can see the buildings. And if we get there at the right time, you can actually film and drone them moving the children around. I called my boss at LFA TV and I was like, hey man, you know, if I got this story, I think it's huge. Can you guys cover it? He's like, what's the story? And I kind of explained it to him. And he's like, yeah, he kind of hemmed and hawed. And I was like, listen, how about it? There's not a story there. I'll pay for it out of my own pocket. But if there is a story, we'll break it over here on LFA TV. And he's like, oh, don't worry about it. We'll cover it. Just go book the trip. So I booked the trip and I went down there. And within 15 minutes of landing at that airport, I could drive to five of these facilities. One held boys between the ages of 13 and 17 in a Brownsville Walmart, or ex-Walmart, if you will, that they converted into one of these facilities. The next one holds girls ages 0 to 12. I think that was 600 in that facility. The next one was boys ages 0 to 12. It held 400. The next one was girls ages 13 to 17, held 200. And then the weird ones are the ones that are smaller, and they're always the smaller facilities. This one held a maximum of 100. I think there was 52 in it at the time. And that's where they mix boys and girls ages 13 to 17.
Okay, let's get off into this, because specifically in Guatemala, 3% of the child population there has been trafficked. And you have actually, you've done your homework, and you are telling us that 190,000 children from Guatemala have been kidnapped and trafficked. What are you talking about?
So the United States government has turned America into the child trafficking capital of the world. Over the last 4 years, 452,121 migrant children have arrived at our border. So these are children that are being trafficked from 180 different nations, trafficked from whatever country they're coming from into Mexico. And then the Mexican cartels and this network of NGOs traffic these children up to our the border of the United States and Mexico. And at that border, because of this public-private partnership that Alejandro Mayorkas and Xavier Becerra, so Alejandro Mayorkas was the director of DHS. So DHS creates this public-private partnership with the Mexican cartels, and then HHS and ORR under Xavier Becerra and Robin Marcos create a public-private partnership with these NGOs. And together, they've turned America into the child kidnapping capital of the world. And they did this because what you see now is you see cartel members who are literally just bringing their merchandise, and their merchandise being the children, over to a border wall. If anyone in your audience just searches on Google or on YouTube and they search cartel drops child over a border wall, within a second, you're going to probably see 50 to 100 results if they haven't scrubbed them already. And that's the cartel members are just bringing children, and they're just dropping them over an 18-foot border wall, over a 14-foot border wall, over a 12-foot border wall. And these children are 4, 5, 7 years old. And they're doing that. And I ask your audience, have you ever seen cartel members literally bringing kilos of fentanyl or any drugs and just lobbing them over the border wall, just handing them over to Border Patrol? Yeah, and the answer is no, because the cartels are never going to deliver their merchandise to a Border Patrol agent, because it's never going to get to the final destination. It's never going to get to their buyer. But because of the system that Alejandro Mayorkas has created, the second a child steps foot on USA soil and they don't have a parent with them, that child immediately becomes property of the United States government. So what we're seeing is we're seeing these children that are arriving at the border, and they'll have a sheet of paper pinned to their shirt, just literally be like this, yep. Folded up sheet of paper, and it'll have a name, an address, and a cell phone number on it. And this piece of paper has been put there by the cartel. Sometimes it's put in a sheet, plastic baggie. Sometimes it's literally on permanent marker wrote on their arm. And because of the policies that Mayorkas has created, that information goes into the child's file as his sponsor. So that way, when the child comes to the Border Patrol, dropped over the wall, or he's carried over by some random stranger that literally just hands him over to Border Patrol, Border Patrol puts that child into the system and puts that number in there as his sponsor. Then the child is immediately transferred from the border under DHS's control over to an HHS intake facility. So an NGO picks up the child from Border Patrol, transports it over to HHS, drops it off at HHS. Now the child stays in HHS's intake facilities for 2 to 14 days. And during that process, they're doing initial intake screening. They're assigned a case manager. So every child basically has an HHS employee that is supposed to interview them, take down their information, determine if they're actually being sex trafficked or not, if they're indebted to the cartels. These are things that they're supposed to be doing. And then in the meantime, they're also supposed to contact this number on the child's shirt that was safety pinned by the cartels and say, hey, you know, Johnny, are you expecting a kid? And you're like, yeah, I'm expecting a kid. He's 5 and his name's Alex. And, you know, they go, oh, what's his birthday? Oh, here's his birthday. As long as you have the kid's name and his birthday, they go, oh, congratulations. You've won an FRA application. You fill out this lame application, and then you apply to get the child. Every single person I've ever heard apply to get the child basically receives a child. Then from there, after you submit your application, then they request your documents. And you're like, okay, this is where they're going to catch the bad guys, because we have the FBI database, we have Interpol, we have all these resources. So what they do is then they get into a communication in WhatsApp with the case coordinator. And you have this random person that's phone number from the cartels was stapled to a child's shirt, taking a photo of his ID and sending it in a via WhatsApp message. And then you have a case coordinator that's working at HHS that's going, oh, I'm going to take this ID, right? Like this fake ID I bought in New York off a Venezuelan migrant in 15 minutes that says I'm John Smith. So I'm John Smith. I just apply for a kid. I take a photo of this ID. I send it in a WhatsApp message. And then the person that's working at HHS takes this ID and goes, oh, it's a New York ID from 2022. Google, what does a New York ID from 2022 look like? And they're comparing my screenshot of a photo of my ID to this image on Google, hoping to determine if this ID is fraudulent or not. And even when they're finding out their fraudulent IDs, the caseworkers are being told that that's not their job to investigate the sponsor. Their job is to reunite the child with the sponsor. It's not their job. How do they know that it's a fake ID?
Yep.
And they're going, look it, there's like a bong in the background of this picture and there's curtains. I don't think that was taken at the DMV.
Yep.
And the case coordinators, the managers at HHS, what's her name? I forget her name. Adriana Lynch was literally saying, if you go to the embassy and go around my back ever again, it'll be your last day working here. Your job is not to investigate. That's my job. So long story short, then after that, they take the address and they go, oh, address. Great. We got to do background checks. We got to make sure that these people are fit to take a child and this is a safe home the child's going to. They determine if the home is safe or not by getting on Google Earth. And they literally pull up the address on Google Earth and they're sitting there with like the little spinny ball thing trying to spin the property around when it's all like blurred out and crappy and going, oh yeah, that looks like a safe house to send a child to. Boom. And they approve it. And then if they don't, if they, for some reason, something comes up, they have 14 days to move this kid through the system. At day 14, if that child is not, basically all the boxes aren't checked and that kid's getting ready to get shipped out to a sponsor or to the next facility, they send in what's called a strike team. And a strike team takes over that case because that caseworker has been working on it for too long. They immediately go and they just check all the boxes and they authorize that child and he just gets pushed out the door. And that's the system that our government has created. And that is how, when a whistleblower came forward with 8,000 addresses, they got through like the first 100 or couple hundred of them and they found 4 strip clubs. So that means that your government took an ID from a gentleman. This is most likely an undocumented illegal immigrant who created a fake ID, turned in that fake ID. And on the address of that ID, the address of a strip club was there. And because they failed to do their job, because they failed to actually properly check the addresses, they signed off and authorized the delivery of a child, a minor child, 80% of which who have been raped and assaulted on their way to America, to get delivered to a man who gave an address as a strip club.
And they got away with it for literally for 4 years. I am so familiar with the system you're talking about, and I'm not near as good at language as you are in just going get like that. I'm just like, and that's really not very effective, to tell you the truth. But the people, the Border Patrol guys that I have been involved with, and we do a big work there on the border, they have talked to us about this frustration over and over and over again, about the tags, about it written down on their arm, and then they come in, and then boom, those people are not vetted in any way, and they say, hey, we would like for a year and a half from now for you to bring this child to court, and then they don't show up, and then they call that a gotaway. Well, we literally helped the cartel from one process to the other process, and it was actually funded by United States taxpayers.
100%. And the crazy part is we were lectured for 2 years,
yes,
about how when the Republicans took over the House, it's the power of the purse, power of the purse, power of the purse. I mean, how many times did we hear that from 2021 to 2023? And then the second that Speaker McCarthy gets the gavel, what does he do? He passes another omnibus bill. And every single one of these bills, you had earmarks for all of the NGOs, for HHS, all of these organizations that were trafficking the children. Now, you could even go as far to say, like, in 2021 to 2023, maybe there wasn't even that big of an issue because we didn't realize how bad the problem was. But by 2023, and you'll see that in my second documentary, or my third documentary, which is Operation Amber Alert, that I really lay out the timeline of everybody that was involved. I think there was 127 members of Congress that sat on the committees. These are the oversight committees that did the hearings specifically on what was happening to these migrant children inside the care of these facilities, like Southwest Key, it being one of the largest ones.
Yes.
They knew that these children were in facilities that were being funded with our tax dollars and being raped by the employees inside these facilities. And they not only didn't defund them, they increased the funding to every one of these NGOs from 31 all the way up to 91%. That's pretty staggering. Billions of dollars, $2.8 billion was given just to Southwest Key programs alone.
That's crazy. So look, you know this, I know this, and now there's actually a place where we can voice this. Just, you know, a year ago, we would have been called crazy people, and we were telling people this, and we'd be called crazy people. I actually did a conference, and a lady that worked for she was actually in charge of the very place, one of the sections of the very place that you mentioned in Brownsville, Texas, that is the old Walmart. You've seen it. right on. So we've been there. We know this place. And people are like, no, that's just where they're caring for these poor migrant children that are coming. No, dude, they were thrown over the wall and they have an address and we are sending them to those addresses and they've already been molested. They've already had terrible things happen to them. And now we're going to turn them back. Everybody says, you're nuts. Well, there is a place now where we can actually talk about it. And actually, we're holding people accountable. And the work that you're doing is going to help towards that. Tell us about what in the heck happened in Guatemala and how did you get plugged into that?
That's a great story and a great question. Thank you for asking. Because the attorney, so it's crazy about this. I've been doing this now. My first documentary you mentioned was What is Treason? And that was What is Treason? Hashtag trafficked. And we have What is Treason? Hashtag invaded. That was done with my previous business partner in those films, which is a gentleman by the name of JJ Carroll. He spent 24 years on Border Patrol, on the border, lived it. And then when the Biden administration took over, he actually he retired because he's like, I'm not going to carry out this treason against America. I'm not going to sit here and do it. So then he got in the fight on this side. So we made that first film and we put it behind a paywall because there's two of us, cost a lot of money for two people to travel. We did 35 interviews. I think we went to 12 different states and it was a lot of money. So we put it behind a paywall. So when we released it, that was still one of probably my favorite films I think I put together as far as like an overall package. But it was behind a paywall and it didn't get promoted and none of the big networks would pick it up and none of the big influencers would talk about it. So it kind of just fell on deaf ears. So that's when I kind of just, you know, I had already created Operation Amber Alert, which was just a give, send, go when I was on LFA TV and I started to work on exposing these child migrant camps. Ended up being my subscribers were just making donations and every time I'd get $1,000 or $1,500 or enough to cover a trip, I would go down there, I'd vlog the trip, share all the videos with them and everybody was happy kind of supporting the work. So I just kind of had this, I don't know, message from God where I just felt like, okay, I'm going to take, he's blessed me with Bitcoin. So I've had a little bit of extra money that I've put aside and I go, okay, well, if I do these documentaries by myself, I can do them for 25,000 and I'll put enough money for three of them and I'll just put a donation link in them because I think that we can make an impact, but we can't make an impact if they're behind a paywall. I have to put them out for free and just pray that people will donate and I'll be able to raise enough money to keep making the next one. So I put out Operation Amber Alert for free and it almost went viral instantly. I think it got up to 1 million within 24 hours and now it's sitting at around 2.6 million in English. It's been viewed probably over 10 million times in Spanish. And within a couple of days, people were asking to translate it to Spanish. So I translated it to Spanish and this was about 2 days after it released in English. And within 24 hours of it releasing in Spanish, I was contacted by the Attorney General's office in Guatemala asking if I'd be willing to come to Guatemala and sit down with the Attorney General to talk about the major trafficking issues that were happening in Guatemala. Now, I'd already been digging into the research of how many children were coming. I knew that I think it was like 60 to 70% of the children were coming from three countries, and that was Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. But I didn't understand specifically how many and like what percentage of that was from Guatemala. So after she contacted me, I told her no at first because I had just released the film. I was completely tapped out of cash and I was going to El Salvador in January. So I was like, hey, I can come down when I'm over in El Salvador in January. I can shoot over and do the interviews. And they're like, can you please come down now? Like, we really want to talk to you. It's super urgent. I got into Twitter space that night to promote my documentary and about five citizens from Guatemala showed up. And they're like, listen, Ryan, they were sending me screenshots of the Amber Alerts in the last couple of days. And in the last 24 hours, there was 25 Amber Alerts. And that just blew my mind. I was like, okay, if there's ever a sign from God that I should go, you know, this is it. So I kind of started to look into how much donations I got. And I just said, screw it. I was already going to Texas that Friday. And I said, I'm in Texas Friday to Sunday, but I can catch a one way into Guatemala. And then I can come from Guatemala back into El Salvador because I don't feel safe going from Guatemala with the intel I was going to get and flying back into America because Biden administration was still in control and I just don't trust their own government. So I flew into El Salvador. I released all the information I got and then I safely came home 2 days later. But when I was in Guatemala, I got to sit down with the Attorney General and I went over the numbers with her team about exactly how many migrants were being trafficked out of Guatemala. And it's not just, it's staggering because the population size of Guatemala is 15 million. And in the last 4 years, 190,052 children between the ages of 0 and 17 have left Guatemala and somehow magically arrived at our border. And to put that into context, if we take a look at like Laura Silsby and the Clintons, where they got caught trafficking 40 children out of Haiti, she got busted twice trafficking 40 children out of Haiti years ago when technology and security wasn't nearly what it is today. And she couldn't manage to get 40 children out of Haiti, but yet somehow 190,000 have been trafficked out of Guatemala in the last 4 years and arrived at our border, which is absolute insanity. So that's kind of how that whole started. And I got invited there. I got to sit down with the attorney general, and the information that her team gave me was pretty shocking, honestly.
Okay. So it's one thing, man, to be aware of this big mess. It's another thing to actually be able to voice it and then start banging the drum about it, because you're right. I mean, people can get killed over this kind of stuff. And people have been killed over this kind of stuff. You know, I'm sure that by now you've known people that terrible things have happened to. We know people that terrible things have happened to. And yet here we are right now talking to the general public through social media now, because now we can actually hold people accountable of things without being called a nut. And also too, if we were to just disappear, people would know the kind of work that we're into now. So tell us about that. What are you, As Elon Musk continues to go through this thing, and as he actually brings accountability and starts pointing here and pointing there and pointing there, wouldn't you agree that there are people in DC that are absolutely horrified of bringing this stuff into the light? And don't you know that right now they are scrambling and they are moving money from here to there, from here to there, from here to there?
Without a doubt. I think this entire network revolves around secrecy and it revolves around their control. Right. So take a look at Guatemala. What was happening in Guatemala when I went there? It wasn't just the information I was given on the child trafficking, which that's mainly what I focused on with the attorney general's office. But what I also uncovered was massive amounts of election fraud and how USAID and our government will go into these third world countries over a 5, 10, 20, 30 year period. And USAID, I hate calling it aid, but I'm just so used to it. So just forgive me. But USAID goes into these third world countries and they start building out networks of NGOs. So these NGOs act like front organizations, basically money laundering organizations for the CIA, for the State Department, for USAID. And they build out a structure of NGOs. It's NGO that funds NGO that funds NGO that funds NGO that commits the crime. Mm-hmm. So it's super decompartmentalized, and it's almost impossible for you to trace the crime that the NGOs committed all the way back to USAID, unless you just follow the money trail, right? And you can kind of see the money trail. So the reason that they do that is one of the NGOs will basically act like their recruiting arm. So they'll start posting job postings. The National Endowment for Democracy is really a really big one and common for doing this. They'll post job postings to look for a Guatemalan national. And the Guatemalan national needs to have a college education. He needs to be, you know, articulate. He needs to be, you know, his physical appearance needs to be good. And when he checks all these boxes, they take that person. And once they get him into their organization, they either blackmail them, they bribe them, or they're just corrupt and they'll just do it because they want power. And they install that. They look for a media outlet that's failing. You've probably all heard the stories about we're giving $9 million to Reuters and the New York Times and all these news outlets, because that's how their playbook works. They go into these third world countries, they find failing media outlets, they make contributions and they donate to fund them. But with the catch is you're going to take this person and he's going to be your primetime host, the 4 p.m., the 5 p.m., 6 p.m. slot. And they take over a media outlet. That's normally the first thing that they do in these third world countries. Then once they get control of the media, they use that media to demonize politicians that won't do their bidding. And they use it to amplify politicians that will do their bidding. And over a 5, 10, 15 year period, like in Guatemala right now, they've taken over the entire electoral college, the entire Supreme Court, almost all judges at a local level. They've taken over a majority of Congress, and they've taken over now in 2023, they rigged and installed the fake president, President Arvalo in Guatemala. And the only thing left standing in their way is the attorney general of Guatemala, who is the one who invited me down there. She's the only one that has the authority to investigate the election fraud. And she's the only one that has the authority to investigate these child trafficking networks, which she did. And she raided five of them. And one of them, the number one being Save the Children. Now, what's crazy about Save the Children is if we go all the way back to 1985, Save the Children was working with Ghislaine Maxwell and her father, Robert Maxwell, to 2001, was working with the Clintons, 2003 with the Clintons, 2007, it was the Obamas. I think 2012, it was the Obamas and the CIA running some type of fake vaccine thing in Pakistan. In 2017, it was Prince Harry. Same thing in 2021, Prince Harry. And then I think in 2016, it was Oprah Winfrey and Harvey Weinstein. And then it was also in 2017, Jill Biden was elected as chair of the board of the foundation. Wow. Save the Children. So crazy, right? When I was explaining all the election fraud and everything that USAID was doing, none of that got Anthony Blinken on a plane. It got some politicians to write some strongly worded letters to the attorney general. A bunch of other stuff happened, but Anthony Blinken didn't get on a flight. She raised the foundation on April 25th of 2024. On May 7th, about 11 days later, Anthony Blinken takes a surprise trip to Guatemala to hold a press conference with this president. And this is the president that we just installed to compliment him on his anti-corruption campaign. So this president ran his entire campaign on, I'm going to get this attorney general fired. Just like Letitia James ran her entire campaign on, I'm going to get Trump. This president ran his entire campaign on, I'm going to get this attorney general. So he starts off the conversation by saying, hey, I'm so proud of the great job that you're doing with this anti-corruption campaign, which is your campaign to pretty much remove this attorney general from power. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to tell him about how much money is going to come into Guatemala over the next couple of years, billions and billions of dollars. But if he doesn't get rid of this corruption problem, he's not sure if that money is going to come in.
Yeah, you know, it's they did the same playbook. Thing. Okay, so look, they did this. It's the same playbook that they did in Ukraine, you know, and all that. And then son of a gun, you know, he was gone. You know, I'm not going to give you $1 billion unless, you know, this attorney general is dealt with. We have found in our work that the attorney generals are absolutely key. As a matter of fact, our team just got back from meeting with the attorney general in one state in Mexico and then another and then another and then the national attorney generals as well. And that's if the attorney generals are in the fight, then we've got a fight. If they're not in the fight, then we don't have the fight. Ryan, we're about to go behind the veil, which is something that we say here, which means we're going exclusive to our network, and we're going to be doing that, and which means we're going to be going literally behind the veil. But I'm with you, and we're going to talk this out further. But in the meantime, how do people get a hold of you? What do they? How do they follow you? What do they need to do?
Over on X, at Ryan Matta Media is the best place to reach out to me. If you guys have stories, leads, you guys are whistleblowers, I'm more than happy to keep your identities hidden. I've never had a source blown yet to date, God willing. So we're going to keep it that way. And just DM me over on X. That's the best way to find me. You can also follow me on Rumble at Ryan Matta.
Okay, so Ryan Matta, guys, you guys have to look him up. Guys, in just a second, I'm going to be coming back with my friends here and the guys here at the table. We have a bunch of questions that we want to ask you. There's some things that we've got to cross-pollinate on that I'm like, oh my gosh, and I want to hear the rest of this story, which is going to be exclusive for everybody who's watching us at odx.tv. All my peeps at stage 1, 2, and 3 over at odx.tv, I want you to stay right where you're at. For the rest of you guys that are watching us across social media, well, I bless you and just tell you this. Guys, listen, this is the Lord's fight. This is the fight of King Jesus himself. He has come to set the captives free. And if the body of Jesus does not stand up to this trash and up to this evil, there's nobody else coming. And I tell you guys, this is our fight. I'm so grateful to have our friend Ryan Matta here for the very first time. And wow, what an interview that we've had so far. Here in just a minute, Ms. Shea, we're actually going to go behind the veil. What do you guys want to tell everybody before we let everybody go across social media?
Well, we just want to encourage people to be a media missionary, like and share this if this has inspired you, if this has moved you.
Yes.
And also join us on odx.tv. As Pastor Troy said, we're about to go behind the veil. That means the content is going to be exclusive to people in our odx.tv family. And what's really cool, listen, people a lot of times are moved to donate and to support children. And joining odx.tv is a way that you can do that for a very, very cost effective. It's not a ton of money, and you're joining, and that money is going towards helping save kids.
Yeah,
and in addition, you get access to our content.
And you do. And I mean, doesn't this cat sound just like us?
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Doesn't he sound just like me back in the day? Okay, dude, I only had $1,500 and we took off and we went down here and we did this and we did that. I so know this guy's struggle.
Totally.
And totally. You know what? Now we're able to do so much more because we have so many partners. Yes. And our team just got back from Belize.
Yep.
Our team just got back from Nicaragua. And another team just got back from Mexico. Yeah. So that was just last week. Amen. We had teams there. I'm about to go to Uganda. I'm about to go to
Ireland.
I'm going to go to Ireland, which is a whole nother thing. All of this stuff, guys. We have teams in all these different places and we're doing incredible things. Amen. So if you're already a partner, I want to say thank you. And if you're already an odx.tv partner, stay right there as we go behind the veil with Ryan Matta. Did you guys have anything else that y'all wanted to say?
That was amazing. Yeah,
okay, guys, let's go behind the veil. Bye-bye, everybody.